Parshas Tazria Mitzayra, the underlying theme of both Parshas is Tzaras, which the Gemara says in Erechin, Rashi quotes the beginning of Mitzayra, predominantly comes due to the Aver of Lashon Hara. The Gemara does give in Erechin, the Gemara gives other reasons why Tzaras would come as well, other Averis that a person can transgress if they have, that can cause them to have Tzaras, but the assumption that we all talk about for the purpose of Musa Shmuzim is that it comes because of Lashon Hara. I was reading through the Pesukim over Shabbos, and I said to myself, it's amazing. The mere fact that you'd have to go through this every single time you spoke Lashon Hara, you have to bring a carbon in. I just forget it's just not worth it. I'll keep my mouth shut. It's just not time and effort. Forgetting Yoyshe Bod Dechot Samachin. Okay, for some people it might be enjoyable to be 7 days away from people. I don't know. But the Gantz will go, the whole carbon and the bringing in, it's a whole avoid. Really, really. For every single time a person speaks Lashon Hara, one would have thought it's not worth it. But in any case, Chazal tell us, there's Yushalmi and Peah. Yushalmi in Peah says that Lashon Hara is one of those Averis that we pay for it in this world and we pay for it in the next world, as opposed to the reversal that we say in Davening, Eilu Dvarim, that we get Hana, we get Bracha in this world and that world. Lashon Hara is the reverse, says Yushalmi, that we suffer for it in this world and we suffer for it in the next world as well. We also find the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that most of Klal Yisrael is Nichshal and Gezel. A small part of Klal Yisrael is Nichshal and Gilei Arayis, but all of Klal Yisrael is Nichshal and Lashon Hara. So now we kind of are in a very tough position over here. On one end, we see how bad and how severe the Aveir of Lashon Hara is. Mitzacheni, the Gemara tells us, we all do it. And we all know we do it. It's not hard to see. Puk chazim amadavar. Go out and see what people do. So the question is, how are we supposed to balance this? So I came up with a pshat many years ago, and I was happy I saw on Friday. I went to look. I saw that Rabbi Shavai suggests the same idea in the back in the Sichas and Minchas Asher. He suggests the same idea. I think the attack mode for dealing with Lashon Hara is really to look at Lashon Hara not so much as a symptom, but to look at, so to say, the infection itself. The reason why many of us speak Lashon Hara is not because we're necessarily bad and evil people. The reason why I speak Lashon Hara is because we're trying to compensate for our own chesroinus. I gain by putting you down because now it makes me feel that I'm not as bad as I thought I was. If I could put you down and I could justify why you're being more successful than I am and why you're doing better off than I am because I can come up with some reason why it is that way, it makes me feel better. I can sleep slightly easier at night knowing I'm not such a, you know, lo yutzlach because this guy only made it because he cheated and someone helped him and he and her justify all his success and by doing so making me feel better about myself. It's all really a coping mechanism for dealing with one's own lot in life, so to say. If that's a pshat, now you understand another member of Chazal. Chazal say that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara is a kaifer. Why are you a kaifer? The answer is because you're trying to rewrite HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're supposed to make this amount of money, you're supposed to live in this type of house, your kids are going to get married at this point in time, and you say, no, I want to do it differently. I don't like the way you wrote it up. I want to write it a different plan. That's really what you're doing. In essence, what you're saying is, I'm not happy with the way Hashem set it up. Therefore, to compensate with that, I have to put you down and explain that you everything good that's happening to you is only because you're doing things that are not correct. Makes me feel better. Because I really don't like the master plan that Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote up. Therefore, it's taka move and why you become a kaifer. Because you're basically, not in so many words, but what you're really doing is you're defining and saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu's plans is not the way I want it to be written. So, again, obviously this doesn't cure anything, but I think if a person has that perspective a little bit, when he thinks to himself, what am I going to gain by speaking Lashon Hara? Really, what do I gain by, you know, putting this guy down? I make myself feel better. It's not going to make me any richer. It's not going to get me the job. It's not going to get my kid the shit. By putting him down does not get me anywhere in life. So what? I'm just going to get myself a big lav. Stomach not worth it. But I think we always look at Lashon Hara, we try to treat the symptom. I think if we go back and treat where the infection comes from, if we stop and realize that it's really coming from a lack of happiness in our own life with what Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and we say, no, I'm very happy with what I have, and I don't need to put him down to make me feel better. I'm happy he got the raise, and I'm happy he has the house, and I'm very happy for him. Why don't I have it? Because Hashem doesn't want me to have it. And if Hashem wanted me to have it, I would have it. We'd both have it. It's not a steer. So therefore, I think if we have that outlook, it makes it, I'm not going to say easy, it's definitely not easy, it makes it slightly easier to be able to tackle this massive beast known as Lashon Hara, to which Chazal give us a very scary, extremely scary outlook of what it can cause and what it does. Many Mepharshim learn that's really pshat in the Gemara in the Gemara that says that the Beis Midrash was destroyed because of Siras Chinu. It doesn't mean we're mean to each other. It means this Aveir of Lashon Hara. It's really an affection, so to say. Someone sends me Shmuzim from the Heintig Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiv Shalom's son. So he writes in the Shmuz that he gave there a week ahead of us. So we can catch up on the Torah from there. They're already in Nachim Eskedoshim. So I get the Torah from last week, which for us is this week. So he writes, he says, it's amazing. He says, people are so makbet today and every chumra under the sun. Pukhazi, people are very from today. We have all these chumras and all these. He says, but something which is also their rice, and no one's makbid on. It's an unbelievable thing. He writes, people wouldn't do anything that's not muhudr to the highest level, but something that's a lav, and Chazal discussed, the Gemara discusses the severity and the punishment, and that's it's nasik yeheter today. It became something that's mut. So they all say that's pshat in the medrash. There's a medrash that says that a reichel once came and said, who wants to see the key of life? So he told him the Torah Shoyin Chemir. So everyone talks about this medrash, Kliyaka talks about it. What's the chiddush of a reichel? She says, because a reichel, his whole job is to be a peddler. So you think a reichel, he's got to talk Lashon Hara. That's how he does his business. So on that, the reichel saying, no, even though this is my business and I'm a hacker by definition, that's how I make my money, I'm still telling you Netzor L'Shoyin. So they say about the Chafetz Chaim's son said, you think that my father probably never talked to anyone. How can my father talk to anyone? He wrote a whole sefer called Shemeres Lashon about not talking Lashon Hara. Mistama, he didn't have what we call today a social life. He said it's mamish the opposite. He said my father was a very friendly person. He talked to everyone. He shmoozed. It's hard for us to imagine the Chafetz Chaim is a shmoozer, but he talked. He had a social element to him. You just have to be careful what you say. It's not impossible. That's the chiddush of the medrash. A reichel whose job is to talk. Talking is not prohibited in the Torah. You just have to be careful what you say. It's a job to be careful what you say. It doesn't mean you have to just. People have this idea. If I'm not allowed to speak Lashon, I'm just not going to talk. That's it. I'm going to become a hermit. I'm going to move away from society. That's not the idea. The idea is how to learn to talk in society, not necessarily to shun yourself out of society. But that's one message, I think, lesson that I took away from Pasha Tezri Mitzer. And the other, what I thought was very interesting was, we know, it's Mavor in many places, that the chesaron to Lashon Hara is that it creates a period in Klal Yisrael. Creates separation between Klal Yisrael, and they're supposed to be unified. All you need to do is to make people fight. It's a little Lashon Hara. Make people upset at each other. And all of a sudden, everyone's in fight. No one talks to each other. And there's big machlokes. I believe that there are certain things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us throughout our lives, Klal Yisrael as a whole, that are there to bring us closer together. And sometimes we misuse that, and it causes the greatest period. Torah. The gift of Torah, I believe, was given to Klal Yisrael as a mode to unify us. We're all learning the same Torah, we're all studying the same thing. Yeah, we're going to argue how to read a piece of a Gemara, but Derech Klal, the purpose of the Torah, one of the purposes of the Torah was to unify Klal. So we're all learning the same Torah, it's all Torah Salikim, we all want to get down to the Emes of Pshat, we're all learning Torah to unify us. Yet sometimes Torah can turn around and be something that's used to create period. That's possibly Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos that why did Mesu Tamid Rav Akiva? Shleinogu Kovet Zelazit. Now it's obviously a difficult Gemara to explain, however you're going to explain it. So I always thought Pasha Pshat in the Gemara was, and I think it's written somewhere like this, Shleinogu Kovet Zelazit means they didn't really care so much about each other's growth and learning. They were very self-absorbed, so to say, in learning. Shleinogu, they didn't really show each other respect, not because they were mean to each other, because they were just somewhat focused on their own Pshat in the Gemara and their way of learning, and they weren't all that interested in helping someone else. I always tell the people when they're looking into boys for shidduchim that yeshiva bochim can be the most selfish human beings on the planet. Because for all the years in learning, all they ever told is, focus on your learning. It's very self-absorbed. You're all about your growth. Your growth in davening and your growth in aliyah and you. You're not even thinking about someone else. So it can lead itself to become very self-absorbed. On that, Zogdi Gemara, they didn't have enough achta, so to say. So something like the Torah, that's supposed to bring us closer together, ended up turning around and bring us further away, created a period. We got so self-absorbed, it was all about me and I don't care about you and I don't care that you're struggling, I don't care about your pshat. We became, created a period. Last week on the calendar was marked two very important days in Israeli history, American history, Jewish history. We had Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. Both of those days, in my humble opinion, were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as days to unify Klal Yisrael. Both of those days were days where Klal Yisrael should have got together and realized the unbelievable things that took place on that day in history, the Nisim and the Flois that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael and continues to do for Klal Yisrael. Yet the mistake that happens in society, and it happened mamish yesterday, I gave a shmuz about this to Shal Shudas, and that Shal Shudas, a fight broke out between two people. Some guy screaming and yelling at me that the Satmar Rebbe is right, then he and I said, okay, if you say so, I don't know. So the whole idea, I was trying to give over this
stay
message.
Away from politics, dude.
So I was saying the whole idea of these days were given to us to create achtas. It's for all of us to be able to look back and say, Taka, that was an unbelievable miracle. Now, whether or not you want to make it a yomtiv, that's up to you. That's a halachic discussion. You sit down, you learn the sugya, you come out with a conclusion, I'm fine with that. But to walk away from those days and not unify us is mamish wasting a tool from HaKadosh Baruch. Rabbi Avad Yosef writes in a tshuva, a very famous tshuva, in Yabi Yoy Mechel Gvav Mem Aleph, where he discusses Halal and Yom HaTzmut. It's an interesting tshuva, worthwhile read, as all his tshuvas are. And he writes in the middle of the tshuva, he says, Kuli Alma Moide, the Nisim and the Flois that took place on those days cannot be disregarded. You can't deny that there were unbelievable miracles that took place during that time in history. Panovich Rav was quoted as the same thing. Whether or not you do, you don't, it's irrelevant. But we can't lose sight on the nisim and the flois that happened. And then these days that were given to us turn out to be the greatest period in Klal Yisrael. It creates fights and arguments and I can't go near you. And we totally missed the boat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did these nisim and flois, I think, was gufa to unify us, to bring us closer together. And what do? We take a day like that and we use it to create a big period. It's mamish lehepach what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So I think that's the idea with the Gemara. The Torah was given to us to unify us. And the chesaron kefi the level of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim was they allowed the Torah to separate them. So we're guilty of the same sin. We allow Torah to separate us also today, you know. You learn this style, I learn that style, oh, that's it, we can't be friends. There's two separate questions. There's a question of a halachi question that you ask a rabbi. So should you say halal, should you call the yomtiv? That's a halachi question. It really happens to be, I wanted to give that shir somewhere else last week, and a fellow tells me, I don't want you giving the shir, we don't like political shurim. So that's not a political shir, it's a halacha shir. It's all based on gemaras that happened thousands of years ago before there was Akamas HaMedina. So you're already warping politics into a non-political sugya. It's not a political sugya, it's a strictly halachic sugya. There's a gemara in Shabbos and a gemara in Pesachim and a gemara in Erechin and Machoikis Rishayim. No politics. The Rishayim did not know that there would ever be a Medina in 1948. You want to insert politics, that's your business. But the problem that we do is on these types of days, we take a day that was given to unify us and we go, Mamish Lehepach, let's make a fight. Let's disagree, let's throw stones, let's burn flags. We missed the whole boat. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do during this time. We're holding now between Pesach and Shavuos is the time we're supposed to be misaken these types of chesroinus, not do things to further separate us. Lehebach, we're supposed to be doing things that are supposed to unify us. And I think it's a shame that these days have gone and went for many people and they were totally lost on them. It was a waste of an opportunity to unify Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, for us to be able to become unified and all sit back and say, Taka, wow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did unbelievable miracles for us because He loves us and He cares about Klal Yisrael and whatever He did for us in those years and continues to do Adayim Hazeh. B'chol Tzvus Yisrael. Miracles happen everywhere. In Eretz Yisrael sometimes we see much clearer. You see open miracles about how things could have happened and things changed. But it's really a shame. And this is what bothers me. I said in this year, I said, you want to talk politics? I said, I read the Satmar Rebbe's Torah. I don't think anyone else here did. I read through his Sefer Shalosh Shavuos. I didn't go through all of it. It's about 1,000 pages. I went through a lot of it. I went through a lot of his tainus. I read his tainus. Some of them I understand, some of them I don't understand. I read the other side's tainus. That's a halachic discussion. I'm not here to discuss halacha. We're here to discuss the hashkafic takeaway. I think that's the mistake. People blur the vision of halacha and hashkafa. It becomes all one big mishmash and they don't know which way's up. They don't know the halacha properly and they don't know the hashkafa properly. They're all confused. So I think we have to be able to set aside. Again, the great Amoraim used to fight with each other, Tanoim. The question is, do you say Hallel? Can you make it a Yom Tif? That's a halachic question. But that has nothing to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did miracles. Whether or not we have the right post Zman Rabbonon to make Yom Tovim is a fair question. Can we say Hallel when we feel appropriate? That's a fair shayla. Achoikis Rishayim in the Gemara in Shabbos. Can we make a Yom Tif? It's a fair shayla. Some Sefer has a truth about it. But the argument that political dirtiness should work its way into this conversation, I think is completely incorrect. I think we all have to step back, and I'd like to believe we all do. Someone told me just yesterday from the Salam Rebbe, the Siva Shalom, said that those people that are anti-Israel, it comes from the Chet HaMeraglim. So the Salam Rebbe said, I don't know. Those people, this anti-Israel attitude, it really stems from the Chet HaMeraglim. But we're just losing sight of what's important. And that's really, it's probably befitting that this happens during this time of the year when we're supposed to be working on things to unify us and not things lehepach. But to me, that was the takeaway from last week. And we see it, b'chosh, I think it's getting a little better in some communities, some a little worse in other communities, like everything else. But I think that, to me, is the Moser Haska for the last 2 days. Yom HaZikaron, how can you not be makir toif to people who gave up their lives to protect you? We said this over many times. It's Kedar Chazer again, the famous story with Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman was lost his son in the Holocaust. He had a son and a daughter. He lost his son in the Holocaust, and he survived him, his wife, and his daughter. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he moved his yeshiva Netzach Yisrael, so he used to have a fellow who used to come to his shul named Professor Elman. Professor Elman used to come to his shul, and he lost his son in 1982 in a battle. That's right.
I knew his son well.
His son was killed in a battle in 1982. So Reb Gusman came to Menachem Avil him. So he tells Reb Gusman tells his fellow, he says, I never got to sit shiva for my son. Can I sit shiva with you together? So of course he said, yeah. And then Reb Gusman says something which is remarkable. If Augustine said, my son died because he was Jewish, that's why the Nazis killed him. He's called a Kaddish. He said, but your son died defending Am Yisrael, he's a Kaddish Kaddashim, higher level. As I talked to Augustine. Now, these are people that were in a different world of Augustine. Augustine was an Eli Otzim, he was Kulai Torah, all he lived was for Torah, not politics, none of this stuff. And that was what Gusman's line. Gusman said these people are Kurdish Kadoshim. And the fact that people go today and are not makirit, I'm not saying what you need to do, I don't know, but you have to be makir, that this is Nisim in the flesh, what people are doing, the Mesiris Nefesh, that these Yidden had to get up and give their life a Klai Yisrael, you have to appreciate it. Pshlame Zalman Orbach, they say the same Ma'isa. Bacha once came to Pshlame Zalman, and he said, I want to go up north. I want to take off yeshiva to go daven by Kivit Tzadikim. I have a tzara in the family, I need to go daven by Kivit Tzadikim. So Pshlame Zalman said, so why do you have to go up north? He said, because that's where the Kivit Tzadikim are. Pshlame Zalman said, if you want to go to Kivit Tzadikim, go to Mount Herzl, daven over there, daven by the fallen soldiers. That will be the Kivit Tzadikim that you should daven at. These were not, these were very Haredis, Haredi people, right? These were not, no one would call it Gusman and Shem Zalman a Zionist. I don't know, I don't think so. These were people that understood what's going on, they understood. It was clear to them that these people that are Mesir Nefesh Reklai, so we should be Makatoiv. And the fact that today they go around and throwing things at the soldiers and insulting the soldiers, I don't know, it hurts me. Pasha, it hurts me to read these things, to watch these videos. It's probably a Shayla of Lashon Hara, we shouldn't post them. But it's very troubling that days like that, between Heir and the day before, and the days go and we totally lose sight on what was supposed. We're supposed to be Makir Tov to Yidden who gave up their lives for Klal Yisrael. And that itself is a Musar Shmuz, that these people cared enough. Some of them don't have Torah background. They don't have a chance to learn in Yeshiva. They didn't learn in Yeshiva. They don't have what we have today. And they felt that that's enough. And we lose it. And to them, we throw stones at them when they drive by. It's very hard. To me, it was a very difficult week. I think Klal Yisrael missed many people. I shouldn't say everyone. Many people in Klal Yisrael took the days exactly the opposite of the intent. The intent was to unify us. And sadly, many of us used it to divide us. But Mit Hashem, we should use these days. Because Baruch Hu sends us these things to unify us. We should not allow them to divide us.
By the way, yeah. If you don't mind, I'm just going to add one thing. Right after the Yom Kippur War, with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what happened was the guys in the Mir Yeshiva, I don't know if you know the story, what happened was, you know, it prolonged into Sukkot, and the guys were singing Zmiris, so Reb Chaim came down, he was very upset. He said, you want to sing one or two Zmiris? That's fine. Go back and learn. He says, my boys on the battlefront,
that's right,
they're getting killed.
You got to do your part.
See, going on and on and on singing. He says, you sing one or two, go learn. You're not fighting, go learn. Do something.
Every once in a while, when there's specific tragedies and the things are bad, some of the Rosh Hashivas decided that they cancel Ben Azmanim. The Bachim have to learn. Yeah. If the soldiers are working, you should be working also. If you're really viewing, it's a dual partnership between your learning and their fighting. So why is it that they're fighting and you're on vacation? It's not fair. It has to be a dual partnership. It's a shver parsha. Yeah, moving on, Rabbi Say. I don't know if anyone got to hear from, they had the 25-year Yartzei from Rabbi Salvechik. So Rav Shechter spoke. It was beautiful. So he spoke, he said, one of the nekudas that Rav Salvechik held very dearly was the fact that people give shurim to Baal Batim, they dumb everything down. They don't teach anything at a high level, everything is so played down. He thinks, why should it be like that? Rabbi Salvechik believes all the Torah should be to everyone, should be on a high level, like you would to anyone else. Don't dumb it down just because of Baal Batim. He felt it should be like you would anything. All his shurim to Baal Batim were very long, very in-depth, very lumdish. Hours and hours. I'm not going to go that far to give hours and hours worth of shurim. But Rabbi Salvechik believes, I think he'd be very proud of what we're doing here, that we're not dumbing down the Torah, we're not learning any different than they would in any yeshiva. We're learning on a high level, and that was something that Rav Shechter pointed out in this speech. That Rabbi Salvechik was very, very into this idea. And this is also a lost art today. Most people dumb everything down. But I think he'd be very proud of the way we're doing things over here. We're learning Torah the way Torah should be learned, in depth, with amkus, not just a face value, simple understanding, and then move on. Although he does mention that, and I don't know how they did this, in one zman, when Rabbi Salvechik said shit, they did 60 blad and Baba Basra. I don't know how they pulled that one off. And he also only said shit twice a week. So that's talented. I don't know how Rabbi Salvechik did that. But again, shir was 2 hours long, so maybe that helps a little bit. 4 hours, okay, I don't know. But they did 60 blad. He said they did it from Dav Beis to Dav Samach in Baba Basra, one zman. I don't know. That's very talented. But in any case, I think that's of an important thing to note on commemorating the 25th year of Rabbi Salvechik, that he held that this is the proper style of learning, although it's probably not widely accepted in most communities today. Most Baal Batim don't have these types of shurim, but I think we should be proud that we'll be Mamshech his Mesairah, the way he felt Torah should be given over into the next generation. Okay. We're holding over here in a Gemara that we talked about, mentioned, and now we're going to tackle it head on, I think. There's one pasuk in the Torah that describes the entire Gerushin process. It says in the Torah, V'kos of law, Sefer, Krisos, V'nosim, B'yodah. And from all that five words, we have a lot of tumult and back and forth. But just what's the pasuk? The cost of a law, Sefer Krisos, you should write her a divorce, but not some other and put it in her hand. That's the whole thing. Dr. Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Yechil no lemifsalinu lekuli gida da alma. Chisda walks in with a real chiddush over here. I can pass every get that was ever given in the world. So someone like that, usually ask him very nicely to leave and don't talk too loud. But Rav Chisda said, I can pass every get that was ever written. So Amar Rav, my time. What's wrong with every get that we ever gave? So he says, Ilema v'shum dechsev v'kasav. Oh, there's a problem with every get that's given because it says in the Torah v'kasav. Okay, so what's the problem? V'hacha ihi ka kasvalei. Over here, she's writing the get. Why is she writing the get? Zok Rashi. Ihi kasvalei, Zok Rashi. Naisen eschar ha-sofer. Because who pays for the get? The lady pays for the get. Because we know if the husband's going to have to pay for the get, he's never going to divorce his wife because he doesn't want to pay for it. So he'll tell Bezdin, I'm not paying for it. Why should I pay to divorce my wife? I don't want to. I'm not interested. So we'll be back in a stuck in a situation of agunas. So to somewhat limit the aguna issue, we decided, you know, let her pay for it. This way we know we'll get done and we don't have to worry.
Is that still Bezmanis now, I guess?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, you don't do gittin?
I don't do gittin. No, okay. I don't know. I try to stay clear of it.
What type of aguna is he talking about?
No, he doesn't mean he means so to mean no, he means to prevent agunas, meaning prevent people from not wanting to give a get. All you need to tell a husband is you got to pay for it. He's not interested. So we want to, Chazal wanted to try to limit the potential of husbands from backing out from giving a get. So if we can limit the burden of the husband as much as we can.
She's not an
aguna. Yeah, right.
He means what we refer to as the modern day aguna?
No, he means in order to prevent her from becoming an aguna.
If he dies?
No. If he decides, oh, I don't want to give her a get because I don't want to pay the bill. No, because a good means we're trying to find hetayim for women who want to get divorced and the husband.
So you mean the modern day?
That's right. Right. What we mean over here is we're trying to prevent problems going down the road about husbands being difficult to deal with, sort of thing. So according to Rashi, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but the what Chazal were afraid of was that if we give him make it any harder that we make it for the husband, we're worried that he might say, forget it, I'm not doing it, and then she's going to be stuck. Yeah, you know, as we learned getting, we came across some very difficult husbands. We came across some think they're lumbisha husbands. Some of them attack our lumbisha.
We have so many tachkanas that we don't want to make it easy for them to give the get.
Yeah, it's a good point. We have ksuba. Yeah, we have ksuba, which is the opposite. We don't want them to be quick with the divorce. It's a balancing act of how Chazal wanted to view or how they did view the role of the husband. Now, how does this affect the Gemara? The Gemara said this is a concern because
is this halakha that she always has to pay for the get?
No,
the husband doesn't want to.
It seems like they made
it.
It seems like he used to, which we talked once about. Whoever has, let's say, for example, you do a business transaction. Who has to pay for the legal document? That's usually not so negay. We're talking about a few pennies of a paper. But let's say, for example, you'd have to really have someone write it up professionally. Who would take the loss? Who would have to pay for the buyer or the seller? So that's the machlokes rishonim and achronim, and the tzoyis and others talk about that. It's clear from the Gemara that before that, the husband would have paid for it, because he's considered the bala boss on this procedure. Chazal said that because husbands were backing out, we made it that... Now, the husband could pay for it, I guess.
Right, I mean, maybe the takana was that
Okay, good. We'll see, that might be negated to answer about Pnei Yeshua's kasha in one second. So according to the way we have the Gemara, the girsa that we have, that the chasaron over here is in the writing of it. If she pays for it, then she's writing the get. Now this is, again, very troubling. How do you push up shot in the pasuk? The kasav law means that the husband has to write the get. That's the husband doesn't know how to write a get. So he hires someone to write a get.
He never does it anyway.
So he's a shliach. So you're telling me over here that if she pays for it, so then it's as if the cipher is working for her, and therefore it's as if she wrote it, as opposed to as if he wrote it. That's the simple reading of the Gemara, according to Rashi. Since she paid for it, the one who pays for it becomes the one that you work for, even though we all agree that the husband must have told the cipher, I want you to write a get. If a lady walks into a servant and says, write me a get, the servant throws her out. I can't write a get without the husband telling me to. You're not the Baal HaBos here. Elamai, we're talking about, even though the husband went over to the servant and he told the servant, write the get. So you would have thought, since he directly commanded him, he becomes an agent of his. Okay, that's what we're going to see in the Pnei Yeshua. What talks louder? Money or telling me to do the job? So we'll see the money talks.
But the get... isn't chal until he signs, the husband signs it.
100%.
So what if she gets to get done? The only thing missing is the signature.
Right.
And then she gives it to the husband and says, okay, I want a divorce.
Okay.
He goes, okay, and by signing it, that becomes the custom.
So that's the question. The question is, where does the custom of law begin and end? The assumption of this Rashi is that whoever pays for the writing of it is the one the cipher is writing it for, and therefore it's considered theirs. That's the way Rashi seems to be reading. Now, the Pnei Yeshua has two kashas on this Rashi. One kasha is very basic. He says, I don't understand. How does the lady have any money? What happened to Masha Khan? We talked about that all the time.
No, but Nissim Balut, Nissim Barzal.
How could she have her own money?
She Nissim Barzal. What do you mean?
Zog to Pnei Yeshua, number three, the Yeshad Akik. Akati Masaka died to the Mishamachi, Kamar of Chizal, Mifsa Kulagitin. How could Chizal throw out all the get? Again, what were the words of Reb Chizda? I'm going to parcel all gittin, which according to Rashi meant because she pays for it. Frekta Pnei Yeshua, I don't understand. V'amai ha'akshinim beduchta tuva. Many places in Shas we came across this once in the beginning of Azayrik. Kinyan isha b'lei bailo. Ain kinyan isha b'lei bailo. We know she doesn't own anything. That's why we always have a kasha. Mashkan isha kana bailo git v'chatei ba'am kechel. We always have that problem. Kedarmina perakamet de kedushin. V'dachkin alu okri b'nosan lo acher matana. Am nashe in the bailo shospen. We know there is a case where a husband can give money and he stipulates, I don't want the husband to have any power to it. You have a third party. The third party can walk in, give the money to the Isha, and tell the Isha, I'm giving you this money, but on condition your husband has no rights to it. The Gemara says that works. You do the same thing with an Eved, the Gemara says. So that can answer the Kasha. We're talking about a case where someone gave her money, third party money, and stipulated that the husband has no right to it. The Reb Chizda, Eich Kama Lekula Gitin. You tell me because there's one case in the world, or a very rare occurrence, where a third party will gift money to the lady, stipulate the husband has no rishos, and then she'll have money. And that Reb Chizda says, based on this, I can throw out all Gitin. What do you mean throw out all Gitin? That's a small percentage of the Gitin work like that. Most of the time, the girl has no money, and no one's giving her money, and she has her husband's money. So, what's the problem? So, Frekta Pnei Yeshua, if Rashi's correct, that the whole chesaron is because she gives the money, it's her money, she becomes the agent of the cipher, it's just not true. It's not your money. It's the husband's money that you're using. You're like an agent of the husband. So then the cipher is working for the husband. If the cipher is working for the husband, then it's Fakasa. So the Pnei Yeshua says he doesn't understand how Rashi reads the Gemara.
Is it a father, it's a car, or it's a parents, or brother, or
sister? No. Parents. Doesn't matter.
No.
The point is that if someone gives the money, I'm an Ash in the Baal.
Why does he get that answer? It's a car.
So the Pnei Yeshua says that's a Deichik. How often does that happen? How often is that someone third parties her money? So you're saying all the time, if she has a sibling or a brother, someone wants to help. He thinks that that's not so common.
By the way, how does it work on a get? Does the husband sign it or there's no signatures?
No, he signed.
So maybe you say that's Pshat Bekasav. You know, even though he's not paying for
Yes. That was asked before.
Oh.
You're mechavin to each other. Okay, good.
Okay, I'm sorry. We don't look at that. The other side of the room.
That's right. Nothing like Torah bringing us together. Okay.
Yeah,
so, Enfid the Bnei Yeshua. We put a mechitza there. So, Enfid the Bnei Yeshua, a very interesting answer. A psychological answer. He writes, V'liyesh liyashiv. T'hodim makshi b'kama duchti mashi konti shikonabala ha'inu b'stam noshim. A regular lady in a regular healthy relationship, we apply the rule of Mashikans Isha Kanabal. Why? Because in a regular relationship, there's a trade-off. That an Isha has Maisi Adayim, and the husband has a Chiyiv Mezoinus. So normally what happens in a healthy relationship is the girl, let's say, will have a job, she'll make Maisi Adayim, that goes straight to the husband, that's Mashikans Isha Kanabal, and then the husband then gives her money to buy Mezoinus. It's a trade-off.
Gives her her money.
Gives her her money back, right. Today, so most of the girls, some of the girls at least, are making more than the husbands, whatever that is. But that's what happens. So Zog to Pnei Yeshua, that's all in a healthy relationship. In an unhealthy relationship, like when they're getting divorced, says the Pnei Yeshua, Masha Inkein Hachach B'Yisha Miskereshes, Roi V'Hamiskereshes Machmas Ketata. Only majority of divorces are because of fight. I'm not sure what the other option is, but okay. But most of the divorces, says the Pnei Yeshua, are due to fight. Then, when they're in a status of fight, ain't habal rogal alos lahem mezainis. In those days, the husband's probably mad at her, so then he's not giving her mezainis. Oh, if he's not giving her mezainis, she keeps him icy a dime. So when she goes to work and she gets a salary, that's her money. Oh, it's her money. She pays the seifer. So Dr. Pnei Yeshua, because of a psychological idea that we're talking about a case where they're probably not having, things are not happy, therefore he's not paying her a mezainis, and therefore the money becomes hers. Now one could have argued that the fact that during Ketata doesn't necessarily mean he's not keeping the way Chazal set it up. Chazal had a system over here. You pay mezainis, you get ma'asi dayim. Just because they're in a fight, I don't know why that necessarily means...
It may be a halachic argument. Meaning, yeah. It also means that Vulgarisho may have a halachic status.
That is correct.
And at that point...
He loses the rights to ma'asi dayim.
Well, he may not have... Let's say that story, I think, of Mara Brachas, where a man or his wife didn't have a sense of smell, the test, and she died. I think there's a half... I don't know if there's a halachic or not. They don't have to say shiva. It may not be your
Because they're already divorced?
No, they're not divorced, but Nosei Lagar, and certain halachas.
That's correct. That has to do with
so the. So this may be, but then, the halachas that kick in. That once it's Nosei Lagar, no more.
Maybe. There are definitely halachas like that. Nosei Lagar, I thought it was more negated to halachas tashmish and other things like that. You're not supposed to live with a lady that you plan on divorcing and things like that. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, maybe. But this is the Pnei Yeshua's chap to how to get around this problem.
Today, do we hold it? We don't hold it, the woman's money is the husband's anymore. Has it?
I'm not sure. It doesn't work like that practically, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how it works from a halachic standpoint.
And as Chaim said, in the days that Pnei Yeshua women were working, that's pretty weird.
I don't know if she was working or maybe she got stuff, other ways. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she found the mitzvah on the street. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how it plays out today with the trade-off between Ma'aseh and Dayim, because plenty of husbands aren't giving mezainis today. They're not paying for mezainis. They don't make enough money. She makes, guy's learning a kaila, she's making a lot more money than he is any given day of the year, unless he's in a really well-paying kaila. But
or not an yeshiva relationship.
Yeah, guy's in school. Guy's in school and she's already working, so he's not making any money, so she's making more than he does. So technically he's not being mekayim his chiv mezayin. So the answer they say today is that the girl waves it. She's meichel it. She says to herself, although I know you owe me mezayin, it's worth it. You're such a great catch and you'll be a doctor in 10 years. So or Rosh Hashiva in 25 years. Or neither, I don't know. But it's worth it for me. So therefore we assume the husband or the wife, I'm sorry, is meichel or chiv mezayin. This is how the Pnei Yeshua gets around. We'll call it a technical problem in the sugya. The chiddush in Rashi l'chayri is that according to Rashi, and this the Pnei Yeshua takes issue with later on, we'll get to it, he thinks it's just, who is the sofer really working for? So she gives the money, but the sofer gives the tzivoy. So the question is, Rashi seems to hold that he who gives the money is the balabas. Since she's paying for it, even though the husband is the one who directed him to do it, because without the husband's direction, the sefer doesn't start writing anything, because you don't write a get for a lady, you have to have the man wanting to give it. But since she's the one, and we'll see the Pnei Yeshua writes in Mefurish, as we know in life, the one who has the money has the power, so since she's paying, that's it. So she, therefore, is considered the balabas. That's Rashi Shita. Taisvis...
Who says that the sofer is working for either of them?
Ah, so that was the assumption of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara said that if she pays the sofer, it's a problem of ikasa. So we asked...
I understand that, but...
So we're going to see. It's probably a machloekish v'shayim. Rashi, the way he learned the Gemara, clearly assumed that when the Torah wrote the kasav, it didn't just mean a means to have a get. The kasav pashav shah, when you read the pasuk and pashav kisei, so you think to yourself, a kasav is a greis, because how else are you going to have a get? You can't create a geish me'ayin. Someone has to write. Who writes it? Who cares? As long as it gets written. Or you can make a pre-written get and buy it from Eichlus for the same price. Right? Comes along the Gemara according to Rashi, and we'll see others disagree, maybe that's why they disagree with Rashi, is that they say Kosav is not stam a fact. It has to be written. It's someone has to be the balabas in this ksiva, and whoever's the balabas is going to be the one who fulfills the v'kasav. So obviously we don't mean, why couldn't one write that v'kasav means the baal has the right to get? And if he doesn't know Hilchos Safras, then he's never allowed to divorce his wife. The answer is because we know that there's something called shlichus. Although the Torah writes, you should write it, I don't have to write it. I hire someone, you hire someone as if you did. So the Gemara thinks that if she hires the Sefer, then it's like she's writing it. And that's a breach of a kasa. Now you could argue that that's not what the Torah means. That very possibly. That if a kasa doesn't mean someone has to write it, because it means it has to get written.
Does he have to own it?
That's what we're going to get to in 1 second. That's Taisvis' chat. Comes along Taisvis that...
she hires a mile, and she's doing the mila?
The Chayra one would have a problem like that, I guess, if you're going to say that it works with Shlichus. So then if you're hiring the mile, then it's like he's working for you, I guess.
Wow.
That sounds like that. I guess that maybe one can argue the same sushta according to Rashi. Whoever hires the mile is working for them. So you're a shliach.
Is it the one who hires or the one who pays?
No, one second. I don't know if that's true by Mila. Because by Mila...
Not your wife.
But the mile goes up there and...
No, because by Mila... One second.
The chiyah.
Could be by Mila. Now the question is...
Maybe with Chatnet, Ishtakabala.
No. We do say Ishtakagufa, so over here we're not saying that. Because if we would say that over here, then we wouldn't have a problem with the Gemara.
Yeah, right.
If that would be true...
No,
but Ishtakagufa is only because of money?
No,
but there's two different cashes here. There's Ishtakagufa, whatever that means.
Right.
And then, right.
We're saying Shverakagufa.
Right. That's for sure true. I don't know. I hear you're saying that by Mila you should have a problem. Because
yes.
How does it work by Mila? You need to be Maimon Shliach.
I've seen a husband
it's
die.
It's not ultimately
all
true.
All the fun is responsible to do is make sure the son has the risk.
Right. There's a question of a chiyuv. There's a question of chiyuv. No.
The
father might have a chiyuv to make sure he has a bris mila. Right.
Well, how about like with stuises? What happens if the father dies before the kid gets gemal? So then, and the mother doesn't
mean the mother never has the mother never has a chiyuv.
But she ends up marrying a while. She wants the person to age.
So this is why we have to learn the laws of the mila in a few weeks. Okay, beautiful. Look at that. Beautiful segue.
I take it a woman can't be a mile.
That's a shayla. Tzipira was a mile. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife was a mile.
So
that's a question. Yeah, that's what we have to get to. So that's a big question. If you have to be, this is why we got. Okay, it's beautiful. You guys sold it yourself. I didn't even have to push it. Rav Loza Demila. These are all the sugyas that come up in the 19th parak of Shabbos. Rav Loza Demila, which we're supposed to get to when we finish this sugya. So figure 5 months when we finish this. I appreciate it. This way I don't have to. This way I don't have to. I don't have to pitch it too much. But yeah, these are all gishmak sugyas that come up in what does it mean to be a bar mila? What does it mean to be in the parasha of mila? What, how much you have to be in the parasha goyim and other things like that. It's a. Oh, really?
Yeah, I bring it to you.
Oh, really?
Who wrote the
contract on it? Oh, wow. Shmack, yeah, terrific. That'd be very helpful. Okay, great. Did he give it to me? I have it. By the Brisson?
Yeah.
I have one. Yeah, I took one. He gave it to me. Yeah, that's very good. But Linette, when we get to Rabbi Loza Demila, we're going to hopefully use these things. Okay.
All right.
So we're holding over here in Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos and Daf Chavez has a different Pshat in the Gemara. Maybe what Tosfos didn't like was what many of you are asking, that who says v'kasa means you have to be in charge of the writing. Zok Tosfos over here, middle of the Tosfos, it's a very long Tosfos, with Tosfos back and forth, do you need to have shlichos v'ksivas haget? Do I have to be mamani or shlich to write the get, or you just write a get, and then I buy the get? Is there a din that I have to write the get? So Tosfos says, I v'hod omal el argumar. Our Gemara says, "Yechlinu lemifsel kulagita my time la'ilei mushim dechtev kasav va'achayika kasvalei." So Tosfos reads our Gemara like the way Rashi learned the Gemara, that it sounds like you have to have shlichus on the ksiva, and whoever pays for it becomes the shliach. Says Tosfos, not pshat. Hasam avinasan samach. He says, no. The real kasha of the Gemara is not from the word v'kasav. That's just the beginning of the pasuk. The real kasha is from the word v'nasan. The be'inan sheyichtav b'tzivoy v'yitein. The Torah is not makbid on who writes it. The Torah is makbid on who owns it. If she pays for the shtar, she owns the shtar. That's the chasar in Zok Tosfos. The chasar in our Gemara is not who writes it. I don't care who writes it. Let the Svarim store write it. You buy it. Who owns it now? Because of the nasa means the husband has to give his paper to her. If she paid for the paper, she owns the paper. It's felt in the nasan, not felt in the kasav, says Tosfos. And if she would talk it, then give it to him, and he owns it, and she can give it back to her. That would work also.
Assuming she could even buy it.
So Tosfos says that Tosfos is making a big daichik over here. That when the Gemara says v'kasav, it doesn't mean that. We'll see in a second because the Gemara has a kasha from v'nasan in a minute. The Tosfos is learning that when it says v'kasav, it doesn't mean the word v'kasav. It means the pasuk v'kasav lo sev v'krisus v'nasan biyadi. Again, obviously, it seems to us to be a little bit of a daichik. If the Gemara meant v'nasan, it should have wrote v'nasan.
What's the pasuk saying that v'kasav?
Lo sev v'krisus v'nasan. So Tosfos learns v'nasan means you have to give something that's yours. If it's not yours, you can't give it. So therefore, Zok Tosfos over here, if she pays for the cipher, so she owns the paper. So the husband then takes the paper and gives it to her. He's giving her paper. That's not v'nasan. So we have two pshatim in the Rishonim to what the chasar in the Gemara over here. Was it a ksiva issue? Like the simple reading of the Gemara says v'kasav. Or was it an asina issue? That the problem over here is you have to give something that belongs to him and not something that belongs to her.
How does Tosfos get around the fact that she can't, how does she own it?
He doesn't get to how she has money. That he doesn't get to. He just assumes that somehow she pays for it. And once she pays for it, she has money. Therefore, the paper becomes hers.
Then the Gemara would say, Ilai Mishud Ksiv.
Yeah. It seems to be. What's even more troubling is if you go back to, we'll come back to the Gemara in a second. We'll see why it's even harder to read. The Pnei Yeshua is going in Rashi's pshat. Rashi learned not like Tosfos. Rashi learned it's going on the Kosef. So we keep on mentioning the Pnei Yeshua. He's bothered. So why is the Sefer working for her and not for him? So it says in Pnei Yeshua number 6, he says, Av shehi emeris limsa labal, v'hasofer hu shlucha shel abal. Even though the Sefer has to be an agent for the husband also. Haimu la'ach shenichta v'yigil yad abal. That's after the fact. Ma'ashenkin b'shas ha'ksiva. When it comes to writing it, anan tzahadi de okerle l'shlichas abal v'nasa shlich l'isha. Says the Pnei Yeshua, although the husband, how does this work? The husband goes up to the Sefer and says, I want a divorce, I write a get. Then the lady comes and says, okay, I'm going to pay you for it. Says the Pnei Yeshua, and automatically in his mind it switches over. I'm not working for the husband, I'm not working for the lady. You asked me, and I'm doing it for you, you're right, I was working for you. Then when she comes with the money, now I work for her. He calls it anan tzahadi.
Couldn't you say that the lady and weird way becomes a shaliach for the husband, meaning he wants to have this thing written.
Right.
He doesn't want to pay for it.
Correct.
She fills a role.
But you'd say she's working for him, or you'd say that they're accomplishing what he needs to get done.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'd view that working for me. I would look at the cipher as working for me.
She might be working for her husband.
She is filling the void that needs to get done. I don't know if I'd look at that as a shliach. You're not doing anything for me, you're doing it for yourself. You're really working for yourself. So therefore, I would have argued that the wife is doing her own thing, and she's... Right, she's making sure that the get gets placed, but when you get into the mind of the sofer, when this guy's sitting there writing the get, who's he working for? So I would assume he's working for both. Says the Bnei Yeshua, no, he's working for one. He's working for the one who writes him out the check. That's the way we all work today, whoever writes the check. Says the Bnei Yeshua, Anan Sahadi, to Okerle Lishlicha Zabab Anasa Shlich Isha, Shari Yechayel Achzaba. Says the Bnei Yeshua, she has the power. Why? Because if the husband says, you know what, let's stop writing. So, okay. But when she says, okay, deal's over, that means no more money. Then all of a sudden, now it means something.
I don't understand that. If he says it's over, it's also over.
But there was nothing to start. There was never a business. We didn't work as in a business setting. Yeah, you asked me to do your favor.
You still
got to
be the one to give it.
But at the end of the day, we know that when you have two people in the business, in a business transaction, the one who carries the money is going to have the final decision. Obviously, you can't have a get if the husband says, I don't want to divorce her. So therefore, argues the Bnei Yeshua, according to, it's all in Rashi, not in Taisfis, all in Rashi, he becomes a shliach of, she becomes the shliach of the seif. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. The seifer is a shliach of the isha. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second, and we'll see why the Gemara creates a problem for Taisvis. Again, let's just keep in mind, Rashi learned the Kasav. Literally, Taisvis learned the Kasav as the Nasa. So the Gemara has a new line over here. Sakti Gemara, the Dilma Aknuye Aknile Rabbanan. Says, well, I can get around the problem. What's the problem? The problem is the lady is paying for the get. Fine. Zakti Gemara, maybe we're going to play Chazal involvement over here. Maybe Chazal are going to be Makne the money. Or makna something. Iknuye akne lehu rabbanan. The rabbanan is going to be makna something. Makna what to whom? So Rashi learns, aknuye makna le rabbanan. Ahu zuza medida. We're going to take that money that she gave. Vahavi kemandi yav leihu. And we'll make it as if he gave it. To hefker bezden hefker. So Dr. Gemara, a real doozy over here. What we're going to do is we're going to take that $5 that she gave to the cipher to make it her get, and instead we're going to make believe Chazal were working with the magic of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. They have a right to control money. They'll make the money his, and therefore it's his $5. That's the kasha. Why don't we just make the get his? They asked that kasha.
We'll get to that in a second.
No, this is Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker.
Does that change the mindset of the...
Very good. That's what we need to talk about right now. This is, says the Gemara, it will all work with Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So the question is, depending on how you learn the Gemara, this is obviously going to affect how this is going to work. So let's work it out. According to the first understanding of the Gemara, that the problem over here is who she's working for. Who is she an agent for? Or who's the Sofer working for? So the Sofer works for whoever gives him money. So if you tell me now that this $5 was really your husband's money, so now the Sofer is an agent for the husband. So that's great. Makes a lot of sense. Hefker Bezdin Hefker over here means that we took the money that belonged to the lady. We made it magically the husband's. So now the husband's $5 went to the Sofer. So if the husband's money is by the Sofer, so now the husband becomes the Baal HaBos, and the Sofer works for the husband, it's for Kasa.
And we already figured out.
The picture gave a psychological reason about giving his own. So he had to raise a husband has to give his own.
Okay, good. So let's see. Let's say you go with the other pshat that we're talking about in Taisvis's world, that it's a chsarin in the Vinasan. So what is Hefker Bezdin Hefker going to do over here? So what you're going to have to say over is that Hefker Bezdin Hefker is going to make the get belong to him. Although she paid for it, and she technically owns the paper, Hefker Bezdin Hefker is going to take the bialis of the paper away from the Isha and give it to the man. Now the man will own the paper. If it's his paper, it's Taka Venosan. That's what you have to say.
That's an automatic result of the first, of Hefker Bezdin Hefker.
Right, but the question is, in each pshad, you have to figure out what's Bezdin doing. Is Bezdin doing Hefker Bezdin on the money? Or is Hefker Bezdin Hefker on the get? Depending on how you learn the Gemara. If the chesaron in the Gemara was who gave the money, then you got to make Hefker Bezdin on the money. Right. If the chesaron is on the actual document, because according to Taisus, he owns it, she owns it, so we got to make it he owns it. How do we make it he owns it? We pluck it out of her hands, and we put it into his hands.
How do we do that without making the money his
okay,
money?
So that's what we're going to get to in a second. How does all this work? Call it Hefker Bezdin Hefker. What's the mechanism? How does this work? Okay, good. I just want to speak that you have to learn the Gemara according to each pshat. We'll skip around a little bit for a second. If you look over here in number 9 in Gil Yonis from the Minchas Chein, Minchas Chein of Noyach Isaac Goldbaum on his sefer that he has on Shas, he has a Ha'aris on the, I think it's Daf Yomi when he did it. So he writes this, V'hine, L'fi Ha'ofen HaRishon Shenichtavu L'chayr Kasha Ma'amit Teretz HaGemar Deknu Yakli Rabbonin V'alimi Kol Mokam HaSefer Kosev B'Shlichos Isha. He asks in Rashi's pshat, If you learn like Rashi, the way the Pnei Yeshua is learning it, that's a question of who the shliach, who the sefer is working for. So how does it help to do a hefker as an hefker? At the end of the day, the sefer is still working for the isha. He says no. According to this, that's what Rashi says. The zuze, the hefker as an hefker is on the money. The money was the issue because since she gave the money, he was working for her. Zok to him, no. Once the money is his, so now the sefer works for him. Everything is beautiful. Okay. The problem is that there's one more line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ve'elo mishum dechsiv v'nasan." So the Gemara, you know, I'm going to take it back. I have another reason to why Rav Chisda can throw out all gittin, because it says in the Torah v'nasan, "V'hacha lo yoiv lo midi," and he never gave her anything. Why didn't he give her anything? So Rashi. Rashi says over here, not Rashi over here. It's Rashi later on that the chesaron over v'nasan. So Rashi bar nesina she yeshava pruta. Chizda has this idea that it says that you have to give her, so it has to be a bar nesina, something which is called giving. And we have a rule, it has to be worth at least a sheva pruta. And the havamina of the Gemara is that the get's not worth a sheva pruta. So the Gemara is saying that the reason why all get are possible is because you're not fulfilling a basic requirement that the get be worth a certain amount of money. The problem with this Gemara, again, Belinette will talk more about this idea, why do you think it has to be worth a pruta? Why should it be worth a pruta? Because there are other places in the Torah, Taisa talks about this, where the Torah writes v'nasan and has to have a certain amount to it. Nothing by Truma, nothing by other places, but Frek the Maram Shif.
But what's the Havamina that it's not worth a pruta?
Oh, okay, good. We'll talk about that in a second. The Gemara is going to read. That's what the Gemara rejects. The Gemara says, "Who says it's not?" But we'll get to that. And this will eventually take us to the sugya of Isuri Hanah, because Isuri Hanah is not worth a pruta. So we'll come back to that. But the Maram Shif points out, one second, according to Taisvis, the Gemara's first kasha wasn't really from Vakasa; it was really from Venasan. So what's the Gemara's at the end of the Gemara's asking again from Venasan? How do you read the flow of the Gemara? Bishlam, according to Rashi, was two separate issues. One was a Ksiva and one was a Nesina. But according to the Maram Shif, according to Taisvis, points at the Maram Shif, we already had a problem from Venasan. So what's the new Venasan's Kasha? So Maram Shif says very Gishmak. He said the first Kasha of the Gemara was number 5. Avagav the Kusha Shniya Sham Hum Venasan, even though the Gemara has a second Kasha from Venasan, Mikomaka Masi Shapra Hativ. The Pirish Venasan, the Gemara understood at this point that the word Venasan means Hu Yitin. He has to give. Now that comes along with two requirements. A, he has to give his paper, and he has to give something of value. Two separate questions. They're all derived from one word, says the Maram Shif. The word Venasan means he has to give. What does he have to give? A, the first cash of the Gemara was, he has to give something that belongs to him, not something that belongs to her. And B, he has to give something of value. So that's the Gemara's two kashas. So says the Maram Shif, the two kashas are all under the same premise. We decided that the word v'nasan means he must give. We then just debate, what does he have to give? That's how the Maram Shif gets around the Cheshbon of the Gemara. Ah, okay. So we're going to have to really get into how Hefker Bez and Hefker works, yeah, practically, to see if it works. But let's just see one more shot in the Gemara.
Own something that has no value?
Ah, that's the $1 million question. That's right. Next week's shit.
In other words, you have to own it, and it has to have value. How do you own it?
That's the question. Value? Is that true that you have to own it, and is it true you can't own it? Those are two big assumptions, which was a big diunim and achreinim. If I steal your Suriana, am I a ganef? Or you can't own something you're not allowed to have enough from? But then we're going to tackle that next week, I hope, or 3 weeks. We'll get to that shot. That's a very fundamental shot in the sugya. We're going to get this one.
Isn't it obvious if the Torah is telling you that you have to give, that it's possible to give? So that defines what it means to give. You thought giving man something that was yours, that was valued, that was green, that was on a Tuesday. Comes out that it has to be something different because the Torah says you have to give it, obviously.
So that's the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara answers, Dilman the Sinas Geti. So the Gemara, no, the Venasan doesn't mean all these funny rules. It has to be this. No, Venasan just means what to give. It says in the cost of La Sefer Krisos, Venasan means give that thing that we just wrote in the beginning of the Pasuk. Don't get all detailed and all these funny halachas. No, you're misreading the Pasuk, says the Gemara. All the Torah wants is to give that Sefer Krisos that you wrote. Teda says, I'll prove it to you. So Shochle Mitam, Kosval Asuriano, Kosher. Because we know you're allowed to write a get on a Suri Hanoh. A Suri Hanoh is not worth anything. So therefore you see that's not a bad value. The Torah wants you to give this paper. Write a get and give it. So the question is, well, how far is that going
to
go?
Suri Hanoh is not worth anything to you.
That's the bigger question. So that's what we talked about when we learned Kedushin. Whether or not you're a Mekadosh and Isha with a Suri Hanoh, but she's allowed to have it. Let's say, for example, she's a Chayla. So she's allowed to eat these things, even though it's awesome. But for you, it's not. So is that considered I gave her something of value? I didn't give her something that belonged to me, because I didn't own it. So when I transferred it, I gave her Hanoah, not of something that I owned. We talked about that in Kedushin. Obviously, we're going to talk about it again here also. The fundamental shayla of Isurianah is how do you look at the ownership? And do you need ownership?
Or is there ownership?
Is there, and do you need it? Do you need ownership for a get? This obviously is going to take us back to the Ktzais, which we've spoken so many times about. We couldn't finish Gittin without going back to the Ktzais, about when you, is there a kinyan on a Surena? If you can't own a Surena, then you can't give a get of a Surena. That's one of...
So you can't sell non-kosher, you can't sell dogs.
No, those aren't a Surena. Those aren't a Surena. Some things that are a Surena, you taka can't. You have to be careful. Those people that are in certain industries of the food that they are busy with...
Bas
b'chol. You can't own a McDonald's.
That's a problem.
It would be a problem. Because that's a Surya. No, you now I get Hanno.
We have by
Abraminim, let's
just say. Lulamagozel.
Right.
Or any even Akula.
Any Surya. We're going to get to that. We're going to hold off. We're going to get to Kesuvim after Shura. That's the last Maramakam on the sheet. That's number 22. Well, hopefully we'll get there. That's going to open us up to a whole different problem about when do we say Oymid the Sarif Kisarif Dami, when do we say Kesuvim after Shura. We're going to hopefully deal with all different types of a Surya Hanno when we, hopefully when we get there.
And you're going to explain what all that means.
I hope so. To the best of my knowledge. not that I claim
not
to understand.
As smart as he
not that I claim to understand a lot of these things, but we're going to talk about when it comes to Surya'na, there's two ways of looking at Surya'na. One way you look at it is that if it's supposed to be burnt, it's as if it's burnt now. Based on a principle of Reb Shimon, so therefore, even though it's standing right in front of me and I see it, but since I'm supposed to burn it, it's as if it's not here. There's another way of looking at it, when you have to have a certain required amount, we say that it's missing the required amount because you're going to eventually burn it. So if I need to have something to be a certain size, although it's physically a certain size, it doesn't fit the requirements of what I need right now because it's going to be burned. How those two things work together, that's what Blined that we'll get to.
Try to get on a Asherah tree.
Exactly, that's what we're going to talk about, these types of shaylas. But the problems are on Asherah tree, you have a problem of mechubal karka. You can't write again a mechubal karka. You'd have to detach it first.
Detach
the shev. Then you have. Right, that's what happens all the time.
Ma'isim
mechulyer. There's one other pshat in the Rishayim over here I just want to mention from the Stipler. It's not the Stipler Chiddush, but it's an Amukah Yosef in Baba Basra that the Nesivos quotes, and it was easier for me to quote it from the Stipler than from the Nesivos. He writes like this: Ula number 7. The fi pirish and Amukah Yosef of Baba Basra. Hey, view on Nesivos reishim kuf tzadi aleph. A whole other way of learning our Gemara. Again, according to Taisvis, the reason why a get is no good is if she owns the paper. Now, we spoke a lot about this a few weeks ago, maybe it's even months already, about this chesaron, giving a get when she owns the paper. You can't give a get that she owns. It has to come from the husband. Therefore, says the Nesivos, according to the Mugetiv, that's not the pshat. Elam shum shaksiva haya shalah. The writing was hers. Va'anan bi'inan v'kosav. A whole new way of learning v'kasat. Shia habal machtivoy. That the husband has to be not the one who actually writes it, but he has to be the one who's in charge of the writing. U'kishayisha neisen eschar ha-sofer, machshivo shayisha haksivo soy. It's as if she did the writing. Not like Rashi, that not like Tosis, the paper belongs to her. We don't care about the paper. The problem over here is that now the Vikasav is not, she's the one who wrote it. Similar to like Rashi learned. That the problem is over here is that since she's in charge of getting the Ksiva done, we're Mesiaches the Ksiva to her, it's no longer saying he did it. According to this, points out the Stipler, that there's no such din anywhere that the Isha can't own the paper. She can own the paper. Doesn't say that he has to own the paper. It's just that he has to be the one in charge. If he took her paper and he delegated the ksiva of the paper, according to the Mukhi, that's Vikasa. Vikasa is not a definition who owns the paper. So according to Taisvis and maybe Rashi, it comes out of Big Machoikis Rishonim. Is there a din that the Isha can't own the get before given to her? According to Taisvis, yes. Vikasa really means Vinasan. That means she cannot own the paper prior to the get. It has to be his paper. According to Rashi and then Mukhi, if it's not true.
Can we get back to the letter?
Yeah, that's where it all comes back. Yeah, right. That's where it works its way back into that sugya. Without going back to that, that's where it comes back, 100%. The question is, who owns the paper? According to Taisvis, the halach is she can't own the paper. It has to be his paper. While according to Rashi and the Mukhi Yosef, we don't care whose paper it is. It's who's in charge of the ksiva. Who's the Baal boss?
Right, but if she gave him the paper...
Who's the him? The Baal or the
Sofer? It's her paper. She gave it to the Baal, and the Baal gave it to the Sofer.
That would be fine. If he was coin of the paper in between, so that would also work. Now it becomes his. But if, let's say, for example, it would go straight from her to the Sofer, then it would be a problem.
Well, why can't the same issue be for Rashi also? Because Rashi's only making his issue of Vikasav or the Muki Yosef because they're reading the word Vikasav, but the Pasuk also says Vinasav.
Could be.
There could be.
We have no Rai for sure, but it doesn't mean they disagree. 100%. So if Salvechik and Shuer Rav clears the following Chakira. He writes, Yeshlachkar. He assumed, like Taisvis. He doesn't speak it out before, but he assumed, like Taisvis, that the problem over here is that the Isha owns the paper. That since she pays the cipher, so it's like she buys the paper from the cipher, she owns the paper. She owns the paper, it's no good. So Clair of Salvechik According to Rashi, that's where Rashi learns. Rashi learns that Rashi wasn't really talking about who owns the paper. Rashi was talking about more who is writing the get. The Tosfos was much more clear about this point, that whoever pays for it is the one who owns it. And the Mukhi Yosef is also not so clear about ownership of the paper. So it's clear of Salvech v'yeshlachka. Imzeu din chiyuve shaniyot tzarech liyosha abal. What's the ikarak bod of the Gemara? Is there a din that has to belong to the husband? Oy din shlili shelo yeshal isha. Or just it shouldn't be hers. What about a third party's paper? What's the hakpodas hagemara? Is the vikasav telling me that it has to be his paper for some reason? Or the vikasav is it just can't be her paper? Now.
So it could be the sovereign's paper.
Right, it can be anyone. As long as the hakpodas hagemara is just don't be hers. Whose is it? We don't care. Just don't be hers.
The vikasav. It's got to be his. That's what the pasuk would seem to say.
Because according to this chat, you're not reading the Kusav, you're reading it from the Venasa. That's why Tosfos learned the Gemara. It's really off of whose paper is being given. So Tosfos has this idea that he can't give her paper. Now, we don't really know why, but somehow it's included in the word Venasa.
He can't give something to someone that they already own.
Right, so this,
as long as, even if it belongs to a third party.
It might not be called an asina of something which is really yours. If I give your thing as a gift to you, that's not called giving.
But what does she really own? She owns the paper.
She owns the paper.
But the paper isn't the nusan, it's what's written on the paper.
Okay.
So, right,
that's true.
So this takes a different item that she didn't own before.
No, the cipher writes up the whole. No, that paper has value to it. A pre-written git has value.
It has a value.
Right? A get that is now written up has value.
What's the value?
It could probably be sold, again, depending on whose names they put in yet. It has the nusach I get has some form of value. So now she owns it. So now when he.
If it has a bottle stopper, it has to be written with Shema.
Yeah, okay, that's what the Gemara goes on later on. That's the part of the Gemara we're skipping. Yeah.
If she owns the paper, right?
Yeah.
It was her whatever. Someone gave her a gift of paper, right? Stationery, right? And she goes to the sofer and says, write this. So he writes it. But those words, who owns those words?
So that was the sugya we learned of. Oisus Parachas Ba'aver. There is no ownership on the word. The words are reflective of the paper. The sofer's words are put on the paper, and now part of what she bought.
But does that change her ownership of it?
I don't think so. I think she now owns a piece of paper that has words in it. Now she paid the sofer to put those words on the paper. That's part of what she paid for. So now she owns the paper. If the husband then turns around and gives her own paper, says Tosfos, it's not Venasan. You didn't give me anything that I didn't have.
What if the husband pays for the sofer to write the words on the paper?
So then you
transform that paper into a shtar.
So that I think you can talk about such an idea of what would happen if it's her paper, but the husband pays for the ksiva. So then who? So then I would have assumed, according to Tosfos, it's still no good. You still didn't give her anything that wasn't hers.
Why? Osios Porchus Baver, because the paper is not his.
Right. That's why I think it's Kufa. The problem is because since the paper is what she already owns, all you're giving is the paper and the letters. You can't transfer the letters.
Spaces.
Right, right. So she really owns the paper. That's what I would have assumed. So Salvechik's Chakira is really bringing us back to our old sugya of Osios Porchus Baver, which I'm trying not to get involved in. But the Chakira is how do you understand the Hakbodas HaTorah? Why should the Torah care whose paper it is? I understand why it shouldn't be her paper. That makes sense to me. But why should the Torah care that it has to be his paper? Venasa means you should give. You can't give someone else's thing. Maybe not. Maybe the Torah understands.
Right?
Maybe that's not called giving. Giving means you own it. This is similar to what we learned last week about giving a get as a choif. I can't give a get as a choif because that's not called giving. Giving means a genuine giving without any pre-existing obligations. If I'm paying you up, a choif I owe you, that's not venasa. So here we're really broadening the definition of the word venasa. So Salvation writes over here, he says, Sheesh loyma tam shakpedu shliyan yoshal isha. Why should the Torah want not to be hers? Because then it's not called giving. The kimishesh leishas chus letvoya saget lochein in the sina sabam the kunesina. Achim moys in the sina is midas v'leimachmas tvia. Vim can get on the yosh lachem kosher. Minisias in the sina he. Ragsos tvia ishas eserus in the sina lavalois chus tvia sachem. Okay, that's for a different part of the sugya. But that's his chakir. Okay, so what do we have over here? We have three ways of reading the Gemara. Why v'kasav is a problem. And the Gemara ends up fixing it with Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. What's the big kasha on Hefker, Bezen, Hefker? It is a big, big machloikish b'shoinim. What is Hefker, Bezen, Hefker? There's a Gemara in Gittin that has two different sources in Navi to the idea of Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. So the hakir with Hefker, Bezen, Hefker is, can Bezdin take away my money, take it out of my pocket? That's one option. They can do. But then here's the bigger chiddush.
Democratic.
That's right. Then they can take it out of my pocket and put it into your pocket. A real chiddush, a real magic trick.
Real liberal.
Right?
Real.
Right? That's a real Hefker Bezen Hefker. Can Bezen take something that belongs to me? So to take something that's mine and say, you no longer own it, so that's one level. But can they take it out of my pocket and put it into your pocket? So point at all the Achronim. One second, what's going on in our Gemara over here? What's the Hefker Bezdin over here? We're taking, let's go either pshat you want to learn. Let's go like Rashi. The $5 that belong to the Isha, we take it away from her. So if we would just take it away and put it on the table, okay, no. So the money no longer, we don't do that. We say the money becomes goes from her pocket to his pocket, and now it's the husband's money. That's the most extreme version of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So it's a kasha of the Machan Ephraim. Machan Ephraim believes there's only one type of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. You take the money out of their pocket and you confiscate money. Confiscation. Bezdin has the right to confiscate your money. Fine, we can accept it. We might not like it, but we can accept it. But to accept that Bezdin can take money out of my pocket and put it in someone else's pocket, that's a real chiddush. So the Achrayim all point out from this Gemara, the Chlorai, you can do that. From the fact that Rashi learned that it's going to work with Hefker Bezdin Hefker, either version, whether it's the get. Now what's the other pshat? I'm going to take the paper that belongs to her and make the paper his. What do you mean? You can make it not hers, but how do you make it his? So l'chayru, you're seeing from our sugya that we have a very strong power of Hefker Bezdin Hefker to take away from someone else, a real Robin Hood over here, take away from one and give to someone else.
But could you argue really though that the reason why they apply it in this case is because clearly the woman wants to get divorced because she's the one who's
okay,
she's starting
maybe.
It. So we need this based fiction in order to benefit her as opposed to taking it as...
But we still have this question that we have to figure out how it works. You're giving the reason for how it works or why they would do it. But if there is no such pre-existing notion that Chazal had the power to do that, we're still left...
Well, maybe they only have the power to do it when they need to be able to do it to benefit the person.
Maybe that's why over here they felt comfortably doing it. Could be. Exactly. Could be that's why specifically over here they did it another place.
Where else would they do it?
Right. Okay, that's a good point.
Where do we see this is all right because all you have to do is
that's right. If you just have to make it's a very good point. If you just have to make the get not his, not hers, then you don't need to pull Hefker Bezdin Hefker all the way through. And it's a good point. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk more about Isuri. I know there's one big kash on the whole sugya. I was waiting for someone to ask me this. Is that if you're going to use a get for Isuri Anah, isn't that automatically getting pleasure from the Isuri Anah? If I use a piece of Isuri Anah to divorce my wife, so I'm getting pleasure from Mr. Rehano. Mm-hmm. Why isn't that automatically also? That's assuming Geshin's a mitzvah.
I didn't want to bother you.
That's the next paper that we're supposed to get to today. Is that this is just a basic question. If you're, it means you're using Mr. Rehano for your benefit. That's what you're not allowed to do.
So it's not whether she can get the
benefit. That's right. How are you getting benefit from it? That's a bigger problem. So Mr. Shem, next week.